Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
So this is, oh look, now I have to work the clicker.
Here we go.
Yep, there we go. This is the last teaching in the Jesus for Life series. We are not actually going to do this series for life. We are ending it today, whether you want to or not. This is it. We are done. The teaching team got together, which, by the way, do you know we have a teaching team here? It's David, our lead pastor. It's Caleb Chow, Bill McKay, who are on pastoral council along with me. I'm not on the teaching team. And Danielle Strassner, who's a leadership community pastor. They get together and they pray and determine what it is that we're going to teach up here on Sundays. It's a tough job. It's a lot of work and a lot of discernment. So, you know, like, give them a high five next time you see them. But anyway, they got together and they decided we're ending the Jesus for Life series, and how they wanted to end it, which I think is a really great idea, is to end it on testimony, to end it on telling stories about what Jesus has meant to us in our life. Last week we heard from Stephen and Tavi. They're both sitting in the same row. That's so sweet. We heard from Stephen and Tavi about what Jesus has done, some of what Jesus has done in their life, and I'm going to talk this morning about some of what Jesus has done in my life. And what they asked me to do was to pick a topic, to pick something about Jesus that I just knew to be true without a doubt. Like, I just didn't question it. I didn't have to, like, look it up and, like, prove it to myself. Like, I just know that it's true. It's, like, the easiest teaching to prep, really. And then I just get to tell stories. It's going to be great. So what I know to be true, and it came to me immediately. I knew this is what I was supposed to speak on today. What I know to be true without a doubt is that Jesus loves me. Okay, so for those of you who are maybe a little disappointed right now, like, really? Jesus loves me? That's what we're going to learn? No, I already know that. Like, there's a song about that, right? We all know it. Don't sing it. You won't get it out of your head. But really, I tell you what, as I have spent time on this topic in the last couple of weeks, it's really pretty deep, to tell you the truth. I'm convinced even more, and I always thought this, but I'm convinced even more after spending some time on this, that the fact that he loves us, not just me, he loves all of you too. The fact that he loves us, it is the foundation that we stand on in our walk with him. It is foundational to everything that comes in our Christian walk. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So how do I know this? How did I learn this? I've got to work these little magnets here. Hold on. There's magnets so that my pages don't, like, blow everywhere. Okay, here we go. We're going to get this. Magnet. There. So I'm ready. So how do I know this to be true about myself? How did I learn that Jesus loves me? I would really like to say that, like, I learned it in the Bible. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's not actually where I learned it. I really wish it was kind of more spiritual, but it's not. I actually learned it way before I even knew what the Bible was. This is where I learned this. Aww. It's little Emily. I don't know, I think I'm about 4 or 5 there. And my dad, sporting the 80s stash. So this is one of my favorite pictures of me and my dad. We're dancing in our hallway in my house growing up. And here's why. This sums up my relationship with my dad. See, from the time that I was very, very small, I knew that I was loved. I knew that my dad loved me. I knew that he thought I was special, that he thought I was amazing, and that he was so proud of me. And see, what God did in my relationship with my dad and through my relationship with my dad is he built these things deep down into my core. In my core, I knew that I was loved and that I was seen and that I was special. And really, this picture sums up. That's how I knew. And when I became a Christian, all of that was already down inside me, I had no problem then accepting that Jesus loved me. I was like, well, of course he does. I'm special and I'm amazing because this is where it started. And so when I became a Christian, I was able to receive all of that love from Jesus right from the beginning. I just inherently understood what he says in Matthew 7, where Jesus talks about if your son asks you for a fish, would you give him a snake? Or if he asks you for bread, would you give him a stone? If you, earthly fathers, though you are evil, though you're not perfect, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your heavenly Father, who is perfect, give good gifts to you? So I just knew, I inherently understood that he loved me, that I was lovable, and that he wanted to give good things to me, that he would never do anything to harm me, and that what he had for me, where he would lead me, was better than where I was now, if he was asking me to go there. And so I wouldn't actually realize until just a few years ago, I was in an Emmanuel prayer session, just how foundational, just what a gift this was to me. And just how foundational and just how much it set me up to experience God's love. So my dad couldn't be here today, but I do want to say thanks, Dad. So if you're thinking, well, you know, that's great, Emily. That's great that you had a great dad. But you know what? I didn't. I had kind of a crappy dad. Or you know what? My dad left. First of all, I just want to say, if that applies to you and you have that wound that was there, that you didn't get to learn this the same way that I did, I just want to say that I'm sorry. That is a monumental loss for you in your life. And I can well imagine that is still painful. At times to this day. But even if you weren't given this, like I was, even if you weren't given that gift of a dad who was amazing, like I was, that imprinted it on you, it makes it no less true that Jesus loves you, that Jesus loves you too. It is no less true in your life, and just as convinced that I am of this truth for myself, I know that this is not a me truth. This is not just something that's true for me. This is true for all of us, no matter the dad we had. This is true for all of us. And even though I didn't learn this through Scripture, it is all over Scripture. It is, in fact, the main point of Scripture. It is the main point of the Bible. There was a theologian, a German theologian, Karl Barth, in the mid-1900s, and I got this quote from my father-in-law, who was a Baptist minister. He joked that he was going to be my research department for all of my teachings. I told him the pay was real bad. So, but he told me, I just love this. This theologian who wrote like volumes and volumes of theology. And at the end of his life, he was asked, you know, if you could sum up all of these books that you have written, if you could sum it up in one sentence, what would it be? And he said, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's like, this is the main point of Scripture. Is that Jesus loves us. So they asked me to pick a scripture for today to kind of bounce off of. And I didn't want to just pick a scripture that like talked about the fact that Jesus loves us, because I think we all do kind of know that, right? What I felt led toward, actually what I think Jesus led me toward to focus on this morning, was not just the fact that he loves you, but how can you know that he loves you? And then why is that so important? What does that what does that do for us that we know it? So we're going to look in Ephesians 3. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you have your phone, you can turn there, or you can just look at it on the screen because I'm enabling you not to bring your Bible by putting it up here. So there we go. So we're going to go through this. This is a prayer that Paul is praying. He wrote it in his book of Ephesians. It's his letter to the church in Ephesus. But it's really a prayer for all believers. So it's a prayer for us too. So I'm just going to read it for us. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. It's really good stuff. This prayer is all about us knowing the love of God. How can we know Christ loves us, and why do we need to know that? So first, I just want to kind of break down and look at some of the parts of this, because he kind of steps through a couple of things. And first, I just really love this description. And just really quickly, if you would indulge me, and just close your eyes. And if you could imagine the love of Jesus, the love that Jesus has for you as like a foundation that you're standing on. And imagine in your brain's, you know, eye, how wide it goes. Like, look to the right and look to the left. You can't see the end of it. How long it is. Look ahead of you. It's way out ahead of you. You can't even see how far into the future it goes. How high it is. How high his love enables you to stand. And how deep his love is. How deep, deep, deep down it goes. Your roots could never outgrow it as you get rooted down into his love. And so you can open your eyes. So how do we know that? How do we know that more? Well, I think Paul kind of steps us through it here. The first thing to point out is that you can't know it unless God empowers you to know it. The first thing he prays for is that he will empower you through his Spirit. You can't know the love of Jesus unless his Spirit reveals it to you. Second thing, I love this imagery. You know, then Christ will make his home in your heart, and your roots will grow down into God's love. It's just this beautiful imagery of when we come to know Jesus and we give our hearts to him and we give our lives to him, and he comes and he lives inside of us and he strengthens us from the inside. And then he, you know, kind of drills down really into knowing, the knowing. How does this happen? He says, and may you have the power. Again, he's asking for the power. We can't know this on our own. We have to have power from the Spirit to be able to know it. And may you have the power first to understand. There's two kinds of knowing here that he talks about. First, the power to understand, and then also may you experience the love of Christ. It's two knowings. We know it in our head. Some translations say the strength to comprehend it. Some translations say the power to grasp it. The first is kind of a head knowledge, right? We know it up here. And then may you experience, may you know it down here, may you know it in your heart, may you experience the love of Christ, because no one can fully comprehend it, because it's too great to understand fully. And then the last, and I think this is really the most important part, then, once we know and we know, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Ugh, my hands are so dry. I can't turn my pages. There we go. Okay. This is important. Once we know it, then the purpose of knowing it is that we can be made complete. See, knowing Jesus loves us is not just about like having like all the warm and fuzzies from Jesus, right? Like we get to feel loved. Although, let me tell you, I love Jesus warm and fuzzies. Like I love sitting on my couch when no one else is around in my house, and I love just sitting there and being with Jesus and knowing that he loves me, or an Emmanuel prayer session where he's just pouring out his love on me. That is wonderful. But that is not the end goal. Jesus said himself why he came in John 10:10. He said, "I came that they may have life to the full." Another translation says that they may have a rich and satisfying life. He didn't say, "I came so they would know that I love them." He also wants that, but that wasn't the end goal. The end goal was that we would have a rich and satisfying life. Knowing he loves us is so foundational because knowing he loves us is what enables us to walk into that rich and satisfying life that he came to give us. And so this is this beautiful prayer, for all of these gifts that God gives to us, that he empowers us and he strengthens us with his Spirit, that he comes and he lives in our hearts, that he gives us the power to know and to understand, to experience his love, and then he makes us complete. But there's one part that I want to make sure that we don't miss in here. And it's something that Paul kind of just lobs in there, because all of these other things he prays, these are the things that Jesus gives us. But there's this one little phrase in here that indicates that we have a part to play in this. We're not just passive receivers in this whole thing. We have an active part that we play. If this were an equation, which it's not, but if it were, because I like equations, they make sense to me, this is the part that we do in it, and it's as you trust in him. As you trust in him. Trust is the part that we play. We have to trust Jesus enough to choose to follow him. It is our choice, and that our choice in this process of knowing him and walking out this full and complete life, our choice is the part that he will not do for us. He will not force us to choose him. He will give us all of these other things, but he will not force us to choose him. And in my experience, and I'm going to kind of do some testimony for my life here as well, but it is that choice to trust in him that enables us to receive that complete and full life and power and all the fullness that comes from God. So, in my life, this really is how this has worked out. I mean, I can't emphasize enough that the only reason I am able to trust him. Actually, you know, a while ago, I don't know, it's been a couple of years ago now, maybe. There was like this string, I can't even remember what was really going on, but people kept commenting to me over and over, "Wow, Emily, you really like follow God into some really hard places. You just have this like ability to obey him and do these hard things." And people like kept coming to me, and I just, you know, I started to feel like really good about that. I'm like, yeah. I am pretty great, actually. I am pretty good at that. It's really awesome. I'm like, good job, Emily. And then God came in, and just the kindest way possible humbled me back down to earth where I belong. And he showed me this. He showed me this link. He actually showed me that picture of me and my dad. He was like, "Emily, the only reason why you can do that, the only reason why you can obey me and why you can follow me into these hard places is because you know that I love you. And you know that I love you because I gave you that gift. I gave that to you. Your ability here actually is not you, it's all me." I'm like, oh. But it was great because I understood for the first time how important this is, that knowing that Jesus loves me, knowing that he would never take me anywhere that would harm me, has enabled me to trust him and to choose to follow him to some really, really hard places. And I'm telling you, it is the act of that choice and the stepping out into those hard things that has brought me into the fullness of life that I am experiencing. And more and more and more, and in phases in my life, it has done. I have walked more and more and more fully in that rich and satisfying life. I thought I had another slide. I do not. So in the testimony of my life, you know, looking back, I can see this is how at the very beginning, when I gave my life to Christ, this is how it happened. The very night that my life turned toward Jesus. I was on a trip to Germany to visit a friend, my college roommate, who was doing missions work over there. I was very much not a Christian. And she kind of tricked me into going to a prayer night with her. Really didn't want to go, way outside of my box at the time. And there was this super prophetic guy there. And I wouldn't have used that word at that time. I didn't know what prophetic meant. Really what I thought was, how do you know so much about me? Like, who are you? Have you been reading my mail? He wasn't. He lived in Germany. He asked if he could pray for me that night, and I sensed it would be extremely socially unacceptable to say no. And so I let him. This is where I was at the time. So I let him pray for me. And many of you will understand this. And if you don't, I don't know entirely how to describe it. But as he prayed for me, all I can describe it as is that he, in his words, kind of seized to exist. And it was just me and Jesus. It was just me and Jesus, and Jesus was just loving me. And he was just communicating to me how special I was to him, and how much he loved me, and how much he saw me, and how much he wanted to give me so much. And I came away from that night knowing in a deeper way that he loved me, that he saw me, that he wanted a relationship with me. But I also came away knowing that I had a choice. I had a choice to make, and I actually did not choose to follow him that night, and he didn't make me. But I came back to the States after that trip, and I knew that he loved me, and I found this church. And it would actually take another whole year before I finally gave my life to him. And I decided to get baptized. And I tell you, that choice, when I made that choice to give my life to him, that is when the fun began. Fun. It is fun. Sorry. See, knowing and understanding that Jesus loved me and coming to this church where that was reinforced and I could receive that over and over again, that is what enabled me to make the choice to say yes to him, to follow him, and to give my life to him. And that is what enabled me to start walking in the fullness of life. And at that point, that marks what I like to call the triage phase of my faith. Because I was kind of like wounded and not kind of, I was just so wounded and broken just from life. I was in my early 20s. And just bleeding out everywhere. And essentially what I had done was all any of us can do without Jesus is I had taken whatever I had available to me and bound my own wounds just to stop them, to staunch the bleeding, right? Except all I had available to me were like filthy rags. And so it's like the equivalent of wrapping yourself in filthy rags to stop the bleeding, but then all my wounds had gotten infected and disgusting, and they hurt even more. It was like walking with a limp. And so one of these rags that I had used to bind myself was alcohol. And alcohol became a vice like it does for many of us in college. I started drinking alcohol because I had just, you know, some social insecurities, which were really just insecurities about who I was and would people really like me if they knew who I was. And so when I would drink alcohol, it kind of numbed all of that. And then I could just be free to just, you know, be myself. Except then when I became a Christian and I started getting these inklings from Jesus about who I actually was, I started seeing kind of the shadow side of my drinking, that I made really, really bad and destructive decisions when I was drinking, not just for myself, but destructive to others too. I started realizing that I was actually had a dependency on alcohol, that it wasn't freeing me, it was actually enslaving me. And so one spring, Jesus invited me to give it up, to stop drinking for Lent. Lent is a practice, it's the period of time just before Easter, about 40 days. And I'm not sure I can explain just how inconceivable amount of time this was for me to stop drinking at this point. I did not want to do this. I knew Jesus was inviting me to do this. I did not want to do this. I had literally no idea how to be myself in a social situation without alcohol. So, like, what on earth would have led me to actually do this thing that I didn't want to do? It was knowing that Jesus loved me. It was knowing that he would never take me somewhere that was bad for me. Even if it was hard, it would be better on the other side if he was asking me to do it. And so I did it. And it was hard. And it was awkward. I was awkward in social situations. It was uncomfortable. I had an emotional addiction to alcohol, and I had to go through withdrawal, and it was super unpleasant. But Jesus's love held me there, and he started to speak to me about who I really was. He started to be able to show me that I didn't need alcohol to be likable, that the power and the courage to be myself, it could come from his love. But while I was using alcohol to do that, I couldn't get it from him, so I had to lay it down. But knowing that he loved me allowed me to lay down alcohol to do something that was really hard so that he could come in and show me who I really was, so I could walk in the fullness of life as myself. In the last 20 years, as I reflected on this topic, the last 20 years, I mean, is seriously filled with stories like this. It was really, my entire walk is summed up like right here. Every decision, everything God has asked me to do. But I'll tell just one more story. Yeah, one more. Look at that. Half an hour already, guys. Two summers ago, it was summer of 2019, pre-COVID, went to the Vineyard National Conference. And while I was there, I realized that without consciously realizing it, I had slipped into this place of complacency in my faith. I thought, you know what? I'll just do my job. I'll love Jesus within the four walls of my home. I'll love my husband. I'll love my kids. You know, maybe faith isn't spelled R-I-S-K all the time. That's what we say here in the Vineyard. You know, maybe it can just be spelled C-O-M-F-O-R-T. It's comfort. Yeah. You know, maybe it can just be nice and cozy. Do I really have to be pushing the envelope all the time? And then I responded to this prayer call. Jesus kind of tricked me into responding to it, but that's kind of another story. I went up for this prayer call, and when I got up there, they said that they felt like everyone who had walked up, that there was a call to greater leadership on their lives, on my life. And I was so pissed. I was mad. Sorry, there's kids in there. But I was so mad, and my immediate thought was, no! And my next thought was, you better not make me a pastor. I swear, that was my very thought. Now that's interesting, right? Given what just happened a couple weeks ago, So what happened here in the in-between? Because I'm telling you, I was terrified that he was going to make me a pastor. And in his wisdom and in his kindness and his love for me, he did not ask me right away. He did not say, "Hey, Emily, I have this great idea. Do you want to be the pastor of equipping and operations?" He did not do that because he knows me. He knows I couldn't have made that jump. And so he broke it down into these little steps. And I'm telling you, step by step, an inch by inch, he would ask me, "Okay, here's this next step." And I would freak out. I'm like, "No, I don't want to. Because if we have to go there, then I don't want to do it." And he would say, "Emily, remember, I love you. I would never take you somewhere that would harm you. I would never take you somewhere that would harm your marriage or your family. You can trust me." And so I would remember it, and I would be calmed by his love, and I would take another step. And then he'd give me another one, and I'd freak out all over again. Those of you who walked with me, thank you for your patience. And step by step by step, he would remind me of his love. I would trust him enough to choose to follow in another step and another step. And 2 years later, in so many God stories in between, he finally asked me, "Are you ready?" And really, this was a process of him helping me identify, what do you really want, Emily? And what I realized at the end of it, what I wanted, what I really wanted, when everything else got stripped away, what I really wanted was to coach people in this church to help them know and how to do what God has put inside them, what God has called them to do. That's what I wanted to do. And he was like, "Great. That's what I want you to do too. And actually, that's what I designed you to do." And at the end of this, like, now that I'm standing here as a pastor, like, I don't know if there's like some honeymoon period of being a pastor or something, but if there is, I'm totally in it, because I cannot describe to you, like, I feel like I'm flying. Like, I feel like I am running and not growing weary, that I'm walking and not growing faint, like Isaiah says. Like, I feel like this is what I was always meant to do. I feel more myself and more alive than I ever have in my entire life. And I am not exaggerating. I'm given to exaggeration. I am not exaggerating. See, because I know that he loves me, I was able to follow each step of the way, I was able to trust him and choose to follow into really hard places, into places that terrified me. And now I feel more complete. I am walking in this fullness of life, more myself than I ever have been. So this is how this has played out in my life over and over and over again. But maybe you're not convinced. Maybe you're not convinced of this. Jesus loves you too. This is also true for you. He wants you to know. He is a good father. Whether you had a good earthly father or not, Jesus, our Father in heaven, he is a good father. And he wants you to know, to understand, and to know and experience his love. He's not trying to hide it from you. He wants you to know it so that you can trust him enough to follow him, so that you too can walk in the fullness of life, the rich and the satisfying life that he has for you. And so the worship team can come up. Our invitation for this week, we always do an invitation, a way for you to draw closer to Jesus and a way for you to help others draw closer to Jesus. And so for ourselves, spend some time in silence with God. You know, if you have kids, find a closet, you know, be by yourself with God and ask him. Ask him to reveal more of his love for you. Because remember what Ephesians said, we can't know this ourselves. He has to give us the power to understand it through his Spirit. So ask him. If you don't feel like he loves you, if you don't know that he loves you, or you just want to know that more, and actually I think we could all always know more that Jesus loves him, loves you, Ask him to reveal more to you. Ask him to give you the power to understand it. And moving others closer to Jesus, I actually thought this would be fun. And I commit that I will do this, if you guys will. I'll do it anyway. But like, let's I don't know, encourage each other on Slack or something. I think this could be fun. So tell one person every day this week that Jesus loves them. It can be, you can do someone easy, like your spouse or your kids, okay, or a friend that you already knows Jesus. Or you could be a little riskier and like tell the checkout clerk at the grocery store, or you know, a coworker who you have to see again. And so there's a second part of this. After you tell them Jesus loves them, pray that God will empower them to know it. Because it's not from your words, it's not from my words, anything that I just said, it is through his Holy Spirit that we know it. Okay, and you can pray for them right then. Whoa, bonus points. If anyone does that, I totally want to hear about it. You can pray for them right then for God to show them that he loves them, or pray later, you know, or pray right in your head that God would reveal that to them. And so to end, I'm going to actually end. I want to pray a bit of Paul's prayer over you, over all of us. So you close your eyes. Holy Spirit, I pray, Father, that for each person here and for those watching online, that you would give them the power to understand, along with all those you deeply love, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love is for them. Right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that they would experience the love of your Son, though it is too great to understand fully. And I pray, Lord, that they will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes only from you. Amen.